Blog Talk Radio.
I need the old, I need it.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to welcome you to the broadcast and to our program tonight. It is Monday, March the 30th, 2020. We are coming to the end of the first quarter of 2020, and so much is going on, but yet we are still here. So amen, and we thank God. We thank God for the opportunities. We thank God for what he's doing in the lives of his people. Amen. I haven't been live for a couple of weeks now. I've been kind of busy. We got COVID-19 going on. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. Not COVIDian. coronavirus going on, and I have to work in a hospital, so it's been kind of busy, a lot of things going on. But we know God is able. We know God is in control. I'm going to open with prayer, and we're going to get right to the conversation. Tonight, we want to talk about evangelism during the crisis. Because this stems from a Bible study I was part of when a question was brought about how we should answer folk asked about the virus and why God doesn't just take it away. And I know this is not something new for us believers that, you know, when things are going left and things are going, when there's a broad effect on things going in the world, everyone wants to know why God is not solving the issue. So we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. I have some men and some brothers who called in. We're going to discuss it. And again, we just want to be able to, you know, discuss it. And hopefully we'll seek some answers and solutions through the Word of God and through the wisdom that's shared tonight. I went over with prayer, and we're going to go right into the conversation. Lord God, we just say thank you, Lord. Father, we come to you with hearts of gratitude right now, God. Father, we thank you for all that you have done, God. We thank you for being God. We thank you for being sovereign in these times, oh God. We thank you, God, that you know the beginning from the end, oh God. The things that happen, oh God, on this earth is not a surprise to you, God, because this is your creation. Father, today I just want to pray, God. Pray for husbands, fathers, and sons today, God. Continue, God, to strengthen men, oh God. Strengthen them in their roles. Strengthen them in the position you put them in as leaders in the home, leaders in the church, and leaders in the community. Father, I pray also now, God, for those that are in a hospital bed, those who are shut in, oh God. Those, oh God, who need you, God, those who need to be comforted, God. Father, we ask today that you would send your Holy Spirit, oh God. We may be separated, oh God, physically, but by spirit we are connected because you are the same God everywhere at the same time. So, Father, we ask that you continue to watch over your people, oh God, that you look over those, oh God, who need you, God. We look over, ask, oh God, that you would bless those, oh God. And, Father, even in the midst of this, oh God, we ask, oh God, that through your Holy Spirit, God, and through us as your disciples and as your children, as salt and light, that someone would come to know your Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior, that their souls might be saved in eternity, oh God. So, Father, we thank you right now, Lord God. Father, we bless those, oh God, who are laboring even in the midst of this crisis, oh God, who are really doing ministry because they're serving those who could never repay for what they're giving, oh God, in their service. So that is ministry, God. So we ask, oh God, you bless them, keep them safe, God. Keep them, oh God, they won't be affected as they tend and comfort those, O God, who are sick. Father, we ask, O God, again, continue to strengthen us and keep, and that always, God, we would live lives that glorify you and advance your kingdom, that we will all stand before you and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen, and amen. Amen, amen. Again, this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8 p.m., and on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. We're live for at least twice a week. We also have, we upload shows, upload conversations. We're also on YouTube, Issues Christian Men's Talk. We have a YouTube page. We have some recent videos we were able to get in before the shutdown. So we encourage you to watch those and join with those. You can reach out to us on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook. I have posted a lot of men's groups, men's Bible studies, and gatherings. Folk are doing Zoom. Folk are doing Facebook Lives to be able to stay connected with the brothers, doing men's Bible studies. So the technology there, if you are interested or have a passion to be, hear a word, speak directly to men, for men, to encourage men, I invite you to the Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk on Facebook. We're also on Twitter, at Issues Men's Talk on Twitter. And you can see the links, link to videos, link to calls, link to prayer lines. We have it all. It seems like everybody's with this shut-in as it's spread around the country. We have a lot of ministry and men's groups that are reaching out to stay connected, because I think that's the thing. We have to really stay connected through the word and the use of technology. If we can't physically be amongst each other, we still can contact and reach out. And especially now, I just want to encourage the brothers out there who are listening, reach out. Reach out to three men in your church. You know, don't assume that everything's going well. Don't assume some are working, some are not working. Some, you know, it's a lot. But just reach out. Call a brother up. Let a brother know you're thinking about him. Hear his voice. Let him hear your voice to encourage him on. Amen? Amen. And always, continue in prayer. Amen? So tonight we're going to be talking again about, we talk about evangelism during the crisis. And I'm going to get some insight and some wisdom for the brothers that called in on the line. Oh, if you called in at 646-668-2636. Just press 1 on your keypad. You can join the conversation, share your wisdom, ask a question, be part of the conversation. Because what we want to do here is we just want to hash it out. And I just want to share some insights of things that I've been seeing and want to encourage the body of Christ out there. And men, there's a lot going on. We got kids at home being homeschooled. So some of you parents, some of you fathers out there, y'all get to hang with your kids. Locked down. If you're not working and ain't in school, now you know how the teachers feel. Amen. And in this circumstance, I just wanted to encourage somebody out there. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. You just got to be creative. Remember, you are smarter than your kids. You know, just press in. It's okay. You can get them. You can outnumber them. Don't let them surround you, and don't let them get you caught, catch you in the corner. Just keep moving. Amen. 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 Well, let me go start a conversation. Let me see. Let me check my brother here. Deacon Anthony, can you hear me, sir? How are you?
Praise the Lord, Deacon. How are you, sir? I'm good.
Oh, all right. I got you, man. Got you loud and clear. Loud and clear. All right, man. First of all, thank you for joining, taking time out just after your evening tonight and joining me and just helping me to share and discuss this and encourage someone out there, because I think it's important. I know we had talked previously when I thought about doing this program and just touching on this topic, and it came about, let me bring the audience up to speed, it came about because we were, it was in a Bible study, and someone had shared and said that, you know, they were talking to someone, and that they knew, the person knew that they were a Christian. And the person asked them, you know, why doesn't God just take away the virus? Unfortunately, they didn't really have an answer for that. And that sparked something in me. And I was thinking about a scripture, and I went to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Because that's the first thing that thought about me, that we are all always to give an answer. Let me find it real quick. I got my old paper Bible here, so I don't have my electronics. But I want to go to 1 Peter First Peter chapter 3. And we're going to go to verse 15. And it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And I think that's one of the things that scripture right there that jumped out to me at that time, that we have an answer. And these are opportunities in these type of crisis situations, or, you know, this is a big thing, but in some people's lives, it's little things. But are we preparing ourselves to give an answer? And I think that's something we all have to, as men of God, as believers, as confessed Christians, we have to look in the mirror and say, are we ready to give an answer? And speak a defense or a defense of the gospel and of the hope that's in us, because people want to know it. It's more to being a Christian than just we go to church and we don't cuss and we don't do some other things. We have a hope for eternity, and how are we prepared to share that hope with what we call a baby Christian, someone new to the faith, or even the unbeliever? Where is our hope that when these things happen around us, we're not responding and have been all emotional like the unbeliever would be? What do you say, sir?
Amen. You know, it's very critical during times of crisis, because a lot of times people look to the church to see how we act during crisis, because they know that it's something in our lives that models us being believers of Jesus Christ. So to be put in a situation to where you would have to give an answer, the one thing you don't want to do is gravitate to the feeling or the emotion of the question. A lot of times, depending on how the question is directed towards you, you can go out of context and go off of emotion to answer it based on how the person actually asked the question, you know, and now you could either, you know, draw a person to Christ at that opportunity, or you could push them away based on your answer and how you respond. One of the things, I know you mentioned 1 Peter 3 and 15, but also in Colossians 4 and chapter 4 and verse 5 and 6, it says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. So one of the things is we got to get away from just, I guess, modeling what a good person is and modeling what being a believer of Jesus Christ is. There's a separation there. It's one thing to, you know, talk about Christ. It's another thing to live it. And if you are living an example in front of people, then it goes away from just, you know, going to church every Sunday or just, you know, sitting in the midst of people who are believers. But you got to actually learn how to practice the things that you are taught when you do go to church or a fellowship, or when you are in the body of Christ with believers. So it stems a lot from not just, you know, going or being a church goer, but it's also being a doer of what the things that you hear during those times. You know, a lot of times we got to take things more serious as far as what we do in Christ outside of the ministry. So that's number one. Also, we have to study the word and be ready, and we have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit to give us guidance and directions on how to answer a question. What actually sparked my sparked me up about the conversation we were having is for most crises and situations that happen, you got to ask yourself, this ain't the first time something like this did happen. I mean, what I was thinking about with that question, and even with the crisis that's going on, was actually in Luke 17 about the 10 lepers. When Jesus healed the 10 lepers, it was only one that came back to really just glorify God and give God, you know, thanks and praise for what happened to him during the healing part. But it wasn't until that point of their healing that they were actually okay, and then they left the Savior. So it's like it demonstrates a lot of times when America is in crisis, or we actually are able to witness a crisis while we're alive, a lot of times we want to pray for healing. We want to pray for a lot of things. But the thing is that after your prayers or after your healing, where do you go from there? So, you know, it's just more so us focusing on what the plan of God is versus, you know, we think about this crisis in the situation that surrounds us right now. These are the perfect opportunities that God would prepare us as believers to evangelize, because not a lot of people have the answers. And, you know, you just use the word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to lead you into what to say and how to minister to that individual. Amen.
Amen, sir. You're right. And then I think that's where we have to take, as men of God, as believers, we have to step back and see, what are we being discipled to be salt and light? Because these are the times. I mean, these are these in circumstances like this. I mean, there's two things you said. You know, if you have a certain age, you live through some stuff. You live through some stuff personally, and we live through some stuff community-wise that we needed God, that we want that. You know, you're right. People pray to God when stuff, between earthquakes and floods. You know, we had tornadoes. We have all these things happen. And then this is where are we as a church, are we ministering that we still have a hope regardless of the thing that's going on? And that's the thing I when we were having that discussion, that, you know, we're praying for the healing and we're praying for this, but are we speaking to people's souls for their eternity if they don't make it? You know, there's a percentage now.
Amen.
I mean, the numbers are up and down. But are we ministering to those who may test positive, but they may test positive? So are we prepared to preach the gospel to them that their souls might live in eternity if they are not healed by God's grace, by His will? Because God is, remember, God is still in control of all of this. You know, sicknesses and disease, first of all, it should not be a surprise to the believer. It shouldn't really be a surprise to anyone who is acknowledgeable of all the things that have gone on in just your lifetime, no matter how old you are. There's diseases. There's people. There were people last year. If we look at, this is 2020, 2019, how many people died of cancer? How many people died of all the diseases that are out there? But because this thing, we want to tie a lot of things to this particular virus, but what were we doing before? How many people, how many funerals have you been to in the last 12 months or have known that people passed away that you may not have witnessed to? And even visited, and when we talk about visiting the sick and the shut-in, you know, I work in a hospital. There was people 6 months ago, there was people who was in intensive care units who they didn't make it. And us, and as a church, how many of those people, someone in their life, someone who was a believer that was in their circle of influence, did they minister the gospel to them that their soul might go into eternity? And that's what I think about when I think about evangelism in this crisis. People are scared, which is justifiable, because everybody doesn't really know. As stuff is happening, we're getting a handle on it. But, you know, it's about our hope and the hope of our salvation, because we know as Christians, we understand what's going to happen when we leave this earthly realm. When we pass over, we have a hope and a belief in what Christ said and what God is going to do and where our souls are going to spend eternity. But now, are we prepared to share that for those around us? Because I think one of the things we talked about before, I know me and you talked about it, that we don't argue the gospel, but there's a difference between arguing the gospel and answering people who have a sincere questions and knowledge and want to know. And how are we answering that? Because we go to church for years, we sit in the pews, we listen to sermons, we listen to our pastors, but are we becoming disciples of Christ? That's, I think that's the biggest thing, because that each man has to look himself in the face, look himself in the mirror and look at himself and say, am I a disciple of Christ or am I a good church member? Because both of those things are not necessarily the same thing. You know what I mean?
Amen. Amen. You know,
amen.
It's
so
it's interesting.
Go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying that's interesting because a lot of people, and I guess you could say where people would profess to be a Christian and actually just living it out, you know, to be a believer of Jesus Christ. I know that, you know, a lot of people, sometimes they ask that question, where is God in all of this, out of a sense of rebellion. A lot of unbelievers will say that, you know, well, if God is such a loving God, why does he allow things to happen? But again, that framing of the question shouldn't bring about a rise in us where we should react in a way that is not pleasing to God, you know. So even in the, you know, I think one thing that we definitely have to be diligent in is teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. A lot of times it's people may stumble over what to say because they may not actually know what to say. You see, and they may be babes in Christ. We don't know their maturity level in Christ. So a lot of times when you catch a person off guard with a question like that, they don't know where to go at in the Word of God or how to react to the question. And I think that comes with us, you know, constantly diligently seeking God and, you know, making it a part of our lifestyle so we know that people will come to us and ask us those questions. You know, and we have to be ready. But the thing is that if a person, like, say, for instance, went to my son right now who's only 4 years old and asked how to drive this car, I mean, how would he really know? He's only a baby. So it's just the thing is that, you know, if we are diligently seeking him, well, I know that in the early stages of me being a believer, I didn't have all the answers. I didn't have enough answers, but I did have a lot of questions. But I think what believers should do is just give their testimony first on where God brought them from in order to draw a person to being, you know, that's the hope that's really in us, really. You know, what did it for us, or what was the gospel piece for us to get us out of the world? Not so much just us having the answer for what's going on in the world, because everything that's going on in the world is not new. There's always been crises going on. There's always been deaths in our own families and around our own lives. But the thing is that we don't look at those things like we used to when we were lost. But because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ and Christ is on the inside of us and just being a newborn again believer, I think what we have to really do is just to allow people to understand we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. It's not about how much word we know or how what the gospel is as far as, you know, saying it word for word. But we know the gospel in our hearts, and God is a savior and a redeemer. So I think, you know, for the people on surface level or just, you know, coming into being a newborn again believer, because we don't know, everybody grows in grace differently and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ differently. However, if I think what we should do is just we should focus on trying to make sure that everybody is equipped to be ready to give their testimony and then lead them to Christ through that, you know. So, and then, you know, we don't argue the gospel because the word of God is going to come to pass whether we believe it or not. I mean, it's coming to pass now. We know we're living in the last days. We know that. That's not an argument. A lot of times they want to debate because they keep wanting to put God at, you know, God not being God. That's where the world stands. They want a world without God. We understand that. So a lot of those questions is not really questions of I want to know. It's questions I want to prove that God may not exist in my world. Because that's the way that a lot of people may frame the question a lot of times. I know the people that I've interacted with, that's their piece. They come from an atheist perspective or unbelieving perspective and saying, well, it can't be no God that you really are serving because look at what's going on in the world. So I just, you know, pray for those individuals. And I think as much as we actually would interact with people who may have, you know, a relationship with Jesus Christ, to teach them how to actually study the word and to build up that confidence to give their testimony. Amen.
Amen, sir. I agree. And at some point, at the point you made, I want to go back to. Yeah, I think that's it. That's our hope. Our hope is that our testimony is our hope. We knew who we were. We know who we were before we believed, but now we believe and why we believe. And I think that's important, where we can tell people, we can speak to people and say, this is what I believe and why I believe it. So this is where I am. This is where, what, this is who I am. And this is why I believe it, and be able to share your testimony. Because I may not know what God's overall plan is, but I know that he's in control. And I know what he's done in my life. And I know that I think different. I see the world different as a Christian. So I'm able to share that. And you're right, we use our testimony. But in the other part that you mentioned, too, that I just wanted to get the brothers to think about, are we equipped? Are we equipped? Are we being equipped, and are we equipping ourselves to be able to stand in defense of the gospel? Are we willing to know, to be able to tell people that there is a God and why we believe there's a God? In Scripture, I mean, there's a lot of ways to do it. I mean, like a testimony, the Scripture, what the things around the world. I mean, the other thing, because that's the other thing. We're talking about in crisis. When things are going well, no one wants to celebrate God for those things. It just seems like everybody wants to question God when there is death, when there is, you know, the floods and things are happening and people are losing their homes and all this, people seek God. But when the things are going well, they don't glorify him in the good times. And that's where we as the church have to be, that's why we have to be diligent when it comes to evangelism, that we are evangelism and we're speaking into people's lives. And we're pressing in, and we're praying for folk, and equipping ourselves. And that comes with us, I believe, of the submission of the Holy Spirit, and understanding who Jesus is, and that we are his servants. Amen? His lordship Amen. Over us. Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Tonight we're talking about evangelism during a crisis, and what and why doesn't God just take it away? I'm going to bring another brother in. I got someone going to come on the line and share some wisdom and insight. Hold on. I'm bringing you in. Your last four numbers are 6367. Go ahead. Good evening.
Good evening, Deacon Farr. This is Pastor Larry Watkins. How are you, sir?
I'm wonderful, sir. Good to hear you. I pray all is well.
All is well. All is well. I was listening Amen. To the conversation today, and you guys are bringing out some excellent points. And one of the things that I wanted to say was while you were talking that this is one of the greatest times for Christians that could ever be. The reason being is it's now time for us as Christians to rise to the top. This is when the cream, so to speak, rises to the top so that we can now begin to have a conversation and a dialogue that can help this world out. One reason is because you talked about salt and light, and we ought to be the light of the world. And one of the things that light does is give perspective. It can tell you where you are in the midst of darkness, and it can show you how to get to where the light is, because it now tells you I need to either go left or right or straight or whatever, because I now have a reference point that I can focus on. This being a tragic situation with this virus going on, we need to be number one, first of all, to be able to put it into perspective, to say, yes, this is a horrible thing, and yes, this is a tragic thing, and yes, people are dying. But we have to realize also that over 2,000 people a day die because of car accidents. You have to realize the number of people that die each day because of heart disease. You have to realize the number of people that die each day because of cancer. And I'm not saying that these things justify it. I'm saying that these things put it into perspective that we deal with this stuff every day. And because we put it in perspective, we know not to panic, because we know that the blood has never lost power. We know that by his stripes we are healed. We know that Jesus died for this very same thing. And the problem is that the Christian community is panicking just as much as the non-Christian community. And because they're panicking, we don't have an opportunity for us to give our testimony. We're so worried about us getting the coronavirus, or we're so worried about us getting caught up in the pandemic that we're not really set up to give our testimony because we're panicking just like the world is panicking. So we have to, number one, have perspective. We understand it all the time. When you look at in Luke, the 13th chapter, Jesus speaks to the same situation. When it talks about these, all the people that Pilate had killed and mingled their blood together, all the people that had died in serious accidents and everything. And Jesus said, it's not a matter of whether these are bad things happening to good people. The thing that we should be concerned about is, where is your soul going? How is your soul set? Have you repented? Have you accepted that you needed to be forgiven of your sins? And this is the time where you talk about that testimony can come forth, because now we have an opportunity not just to give our testimony, but to ask somebody else, are you set for where you're going? Are you set for how your soul is set right? And these are the things that we can use to give perspective, to give our testimony, to evangelize, and to reach out to the community. This is a good time for us. This is the greatest time for us, man. And I know it seems hard to say that you're excited, but I am excited because now is the chance for the word of God, the glory of God's love, and the love of Jesus to be out, and for people to understand that we don't have to panic, because we know that there's power in the blood and that the blood saves. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. Yeah, thank you very much for that, because you're right. It's just funny, yeah. We have to understand that we're so worried about catching it. That's the part. I heard what you said there. We're so concerned about catching it, and we're praying for a lot of things that we're taking the focus off. We want God. Let me say it like this. I've listened to a lot of preachers, because a lot of people are out and they're preaching and saying a lot of things. Everybody is praying for the healing and a lot of things that they seem like they're all saying the same thing, but no one is concerned, because again, there's people out there who's going to get sick. There's going to be people out there. Even if you pray for someone's healing and they get healed, are they going to remember? Are they going to remember Christ, that God's healed them? Are they going to now change their lives and understand? I pray for you. I pray to Jesus Christ about you being healed. Now, do you believe? Will you live a life obedient to him? You see what I'm saying? That's why, there's a thing there that I think a piece we're missing, or maybe it's just me, because, you know, I've been wrong before. But we're praying for people to get healed. People get healed. People ask for prayer because they know someone got sick, someone has tested positive. But why would God heal them if they're going to go back to their old sinful and disobedient ways? Or do they thank you, like you said, about the lepers who got healed and only one came back? And are we giving people too simplistic salvation, or God is just ask God to heal and you get healed, and then you have nothing. Now it's not that you owe God, but now do you believe and trust God now? He showed you something. He showed you what he can do. You know, I think about Thomas. Thomas said, I have to see the scars and the holes, and then I'll believe. If you pray for someone, you tell someone, I prayed to God that you might be healed. Now, are you going to live a life in appreciation for that, because you love him because he healed you? And I think that's the piece we're missing as we praying over people and praying for people. And then, and Pastor Walker, and you said the same thing. There's the death around us every day, every year. It's just that when we have these clusters, that's what I'm going to call it. We have these clusters. Then everybody wants to be, you know, because it happened in 9/11. It happened we had some other things over the years that happened, and people and the churches were full. And then we all know, you know, because I know us, me, you, and Deacon Anthony, we've been in church a while. We've seen the church attendance rise and then drift back as things got better, you know. But I don't know what I don't have the answer. I don't have the wisdom to understand who would say it. I don't want to say that. But Do we see the fruit? That's what the rest of that stuff. Thank you, Lord. That's what I'm saying. Are we seeing the fruit in the people who are drawn to the church, are drawn to the gospel, and then is there fruit in their life after the crisis passed? And what are we doing as the church to help people get to that next point, to get to that thing, to get to grow in Christ, that now they can be used by God when the next crisis comes, because it's coming again. And Deacon Anthony, like you said, we are in the end times, and there's going to be things that's going to be happening more and more. It's going to be other things. Because, you know, even I just now sitting here, I remember when AIDS first came on the scene. That was a whole, that was, you know, I wasn't in the church then, but everybody was, you hear the televangelists talking about AIDS and what it was and who it was for, but it's the same kind of thing. So I just say during these crises, that as the church, I think we have to look in the mirror again. Every individual brother, every individual Christian man, from elder, deacon, to the brother who just got saved last weekend or just got saved, you know, in January for the new year, we're at the new year's service. Are you prepared to reach and tell and give your testimony, let people know who Jesus Christ is and the gospel, and share that gospel message that souls will be saved? Amen. Amen. Again, you're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. And again, we just come today to just encourage, to discuss, to just reason together some of the things that's going on, that we can think through this thing. Because as men of God, we just want to be able to give a logical answer to the gospel of the things what we believe, and why we believe it, and share that information with the lost, and to encourage those brothers around us. Because again, like you said, some of the things the saints are saying, what do you believe? What have you been? What have you been taught? What do you believe about the Word of God? Are you reasoning for yourself the things of the Word of God? I always say to brothers all the time, you can start your devotion. Your week of devotion can be just based off the sermon from Sunday. Meditate on that thing for 5 days and see what the pastor was trying to say and the word that he was given to you. But are we spending that time? And then do we see ourselves as God's instrument? Do we see ourselves as God's man in this culture to bring light into the darkness? Amen? Deacon Anthony, I want to come back to you, bro, in a minute. I'll make a quick commercial break. Men and brothers, those out there who are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk, and you've called in at 646-668-2636. You can press 1 on your keypad. We can bring into the conversation. You can share your insight and wisdom and share with us. Also, you can always reach out to us on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk on our Facebook page. We're on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk. Tonight, I just wanted to encourage, give a shout out to a book I want to recommend for reading since we all shut in and shut down. Steve Ferrer, and the book is called Manna. When you're out of options, God will provide manna. It's by Steve Ferrer, F-A-R-R-A-R, and he's the author of Point Man. He's a pastor. He does men's ministry. I picked up some of his books back in the 90s when I first got saved, and they're very encouraging. So I just want to put that out there. If you're looking for some read material while you shut in, that's something else we're going to be posting on our Facebook page. We're going to throw some books out there, some information that's going to help you grow in the things of God and help you to be the man that God has called you to be in your home, in the church, and in the community, that you might be the salt and the light where you are. Amen. Amen. I'm going to bring someone else in, another caller here. Your last four numbers are 8959. Praise God. How are you?
Praise the Lord. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Who's this?
It's Rev. Rev. Lonnie Davis.
Hey, Brother Lonnie Davis. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. How about yourself? You know.
Excellent. What would you like to share?
Okay. Evangelism at a time like this. Well, I had the homeless shelters, and every day I evangelized to 170 men. Then every morning I had a 50 men round robin. But I didn't talk Christianese. what I did, I allowed them to understand Galatians 5:16. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And also, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I used to evangelize with some people who really it was about their own flesh. They were trying to satisfy themselves with the evangelism instead of being led by the Spirit. And then I had all my employees remember, they didn't even know it was a scripture because I made it a power statement for the shelters. And it was Proverbs 15:1. It says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Well, by me being an ex-heroin addict and running a feeding, clothing, and housing 350 people every day, everybody that came in the shelters already knew my story. So the evangelism started when they came into the program because they sitting up there watching me, who used to be a heroin addict like them, not preaching to them, but showing them the gospel by living the gospel myself. I even stopped using the word disciple because the Bible says that that teaching was so hard that some of his disciples turned and walked with him no more. So Lord started elevating me in my own mind to understand the power of words. And if I'm out there evangelizing, if I'm trying to do apologetics, argue doctrine, and trying to convince somebody to believe what I believe, then I'm whipping a dead horse anyway because I'm not being led by the Spirit. And each person you meet, the Spirit will give you a different type of evangelism. You can't put evangelism on one level and then teach or evangelize everyone the same way. There's guiding principles to evangelism, but if the Spirit leads you, then guess what? The Spirit will open that door so that you can get in. I remember I met a Hasidic Jew who came into the shelter, and all I did was say, I know what your problem is. You got an emptiness in your heart, and you need love. And he said, how did you know that? I said, because I could feel it. And God used me just for me saying those few words. And so I would also end with this. James 4:10, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So in the context of 1 Peter, you talk about from verse 13 to verse 17, there's a whole principle there. And the principle is evangelism is almost like the law of navigation and the law of solid trust. Trust is the foundation of leadership. So when you're going out evangelizing, you look for the needs of their, by using their words, even the hostile people, even the atheists. And I'll end with this one. I went out with two pastors when I came from the VA hospital and got clean. And we were over South Baltimore. And they would walk up to people, call themselves evangelizing, walk up to complete strangers and say, are you saved? And then they start talking to people, and the people would start getting hostile. Why are you asking me, am I saved? Are you saved? And so they would start battering back and forth, and the people would stop and look at me and say, are you with them? I say, yes. They say, I'd rather for him to minister to me than you, because he didn't come to me like that. So we got to watch what we do, and then I'll leave with 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So I would let the scriptures that I talked about here speak for me instead of me going in my own head. And I use my examples of life experiences as an evangelist to talk about such times as these.
Amen, Pastor. Thank you. You know, I appreciate you, bro, and I thank you for calling in. And then you're right. That is what you're saying is true. It's how we approach people and where our hearts are. And because, again, we have to have the wisdom and discernment when it comes to evangelism. That's why evangelism is a thing that you have to have a heart for it. And, you know, you're right. That asking people if they save you, the way you approach unbeliever, you don't know where people are. You don't know where their religious backgrounds are, but there is a correct way to be able to reach those and speak to folk where we can find out where they are, because they may be in a place that they just need to be reassured that Christ still loves them. You know, that they might have had a relationship previously but drifted off and need to have a mid course adjustment in their lives, and that's why God sent them to us. But that's why. You're right. Evangelism is one of those things that we have to be discerning, and we have to be sensitive and be led by the Spirit. The Spirit will speak to us and tell us how to approach and talk to people, because we have to be able to speak to people. Some people we may have to, you know, we're going to talk a different way or different tone depending on who they are. And that's what we say about when we talk about the defense of the hope of our salvation. Because we sometimes, even in people's questions, they're seeking something. They're seeking a legitimate answer. And we have to be prepared. And I think that's our biggest thing, that I think that we, as the body of Christ, as us as Christian men, are we preparing ourselves? Is that our passion, to be able to encourage someone in the gospel? Now, there's a lot of ways to do it. I know there's no one way to do it. But is that a thing that we're thinking about in all that we do as Christian men? Are we focused? Are we really focused to say, God, you know, it used to be a prayer back when I was a young Christian. We used to do evangelism in the neighborhoods. God, the prayer would be, God, just use me. Give me what to say when someone asks me, or when I engage someone, give me the words that's going to make them seek you, understand you, or ask that question they have that's keeping them from coming to you and giving their life to you. And that's what we have to be. We have to be open to that. And I think you're right. And the Pastor Lonnie Davis, I appreciate you calling in, brother. And I'm going to come back to you in a little while. Deacon Anthony, you still with me there, bro?
Yes, I'm still here. Praise the Lord.
Oh, I lost him. Oh,
no.
Oh, okay. I got you, bro. I hear you. So, bro, literally. Because it touched a lot. I mean, to the two pastors who called in, they shared a lot with us. But Nick, I'm going to come back to you. As we seek, what do you say, as even in this? Because, like you said, I just listened to the governor here, and we're in Maryland. For those of you who are listening around the country or in other places, we're here in Maryland. Our governor just shut it down. Matter of fact, 8 o'clock, everybody should have been in the house. So I'm good. Amen? No. But, you know, there's a lot of things going on. So moving forward, because there's a lot of reports now this thing is going to last a while and our lives may not get back to normal as we previously knew it for a while. So what do you think, bro? How do you feel that as a church that what are you thinking and your insight on what we need to start doing as a church, even going to and fro? Because we, you know, we can go out, we're going to see people, and I think the longer this goes on, the more anxious people are going to get. And I think that's why we have to begin to pray, and we have to seek God, say, God, we're going to need, because even the church is going to start. I think the longer this goes on, people's faith is going to start to, we're going to have to encourage one another. That's just right. How I'm thinking about, because this is how it is. The only way you know the strength of anything is when it's tested. And that goes from mm-hmm. love, when you say you love somebody, when it go left, do you really love them? And our faith, when it's really tested, because you know we have a generation, I'm not going to call nobody's name out, but we have some Christian folk who think they pray to God and ask for God, and it's supposed to happen right away in the microwave, in a microwave of a second. We ain't got no long suffering, and we ain't got no endurance. So I think the church is going to be stretched. What do you say, sir?
Well, what I would say about that is that it's just like being tested in our marriage. We have to strengthen our relationship. Our relationship with Jesus Christ has to be strengthened and continue in that. A lot of times we use other things as far as distractions to give us excuses on why we're not reading and studying the Word of God a lot of times. Well, I have to go here. I had to do this. I had to do this. I had to do this. And that always is a stumbling block a lot of times than actually getting into the Word and getting into prayer. These are also times to mend those relationships with families and marriages, physical marriages. The thing is that what is the relationship that a person needs to examine themselves who are believers of Jesus Christ? We know that we have social distancing, but we shouldn't distance ourselves from Jesus Christ, you know. And the dependency on the people of God a lot of times, even in the church building, it's just we depend on people to feed us the Word of God. So in some cases, for those people who are born-again believers and just coming to know who Jesus Christ is, what we need to do, who are the seasoned people, we need to reach out to them like you were saying and tell them, hey, I'm just thinking about you. I'm praying for you. Just call and check on those people. We can still network in that aspect so that we can still take care of the babies that are in Christ. Amen. The thing is are we setting time apart to do that? And are we doing it on purpose? That's our responsibility as the body of Christ. Nobody in their natural body doesn't actually worry about or exercise their own body so that they can move correctly. We actually get up and we do things. We exercise. We stretch. We do a lot of things with our own physical body. But what do we do about our spiritual body? That because we have social distancing and it's not doing the same thing that it normally would do, weekly basis, Bible study, Sunday morning worship, prayer service. What are we actually doing to encourage the body during this time? And that actually is the piece that we need to do on purpose. So what I would say in this crisis, not only with the evangelism piece, and it was a blessing to hear the pastors express the things that, you know, that they actually are doing right now during the crisis and the people that they meet, that is a blessing, you know, to know that it's many members but one body. And the thing is that we always want to meet a person where they are. It's hard for me, and God and the Holy Spirit allows us to interact with people who have similar backgrounds with us so that our testimony can reach them in a way where God is glorified. So I think during this crisis time, what we really need to focus on as the body is our relationship, and strengthening that relationship, because we are in a union or a marriage with Jesus Christ. And we have to make sure that he is first in our lives. And these are times that we need to reflect and just give thanks and actually reach those other people that are a part of the body of Christ to encourage them as well. So, you know, during these things, we don't want to get caught up in a lot of the cares of the world. I don't want to say to people, don't look at the news. I don't want to say that, okay? But media is a way to program people and to get and put fear and doubt into people as well. Like the pastor was saying, that a lot of the believers are looking at it, making sure we don't get it and bring it back home. It's like, well, wait a minute, our hope is not in that. Okay, and I don't trust man or put my trust in man, because man didn't bring me this far, nor did he bring me out of the world in my situations. So I need to actually build my relationship with Jesus Christ and just trust him. Because, I mean, for the believers, I mean, I'm not saying that it's not out there. I'm not saying that. But I thank God for keeping us in good health and being able to take care of us during these times, because the shelves are empty in the stores. We have everything we need. We eat every day. So we know that God is actually still in the midst and doing what he promised us that he would do, is take care of us. So I reflect on those things, and I praise God and I thank God every day, not only for keeping my family, but But I thank God for actually keeping the body of Christ as well. When I reach out to people to see, hey, you know, hey, you got everything you need? Do you need anything? Or, you know, and I see the answers and the statements, even if it's not as clear, it's always, yes, we're doing fine. How are you doing? So I know God is not, you know, and I heard you quote from Peter, also in 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God is using times like this to get people's attention and to stir up those things. And after, you know, these things actually take place, even with the people who are unbelievers, what I pray is that it draws people to Christ through what is going on. I just pray for that, because I know that time is running, it's running short. Jesus Christ is on his way back to rapture the church. And this is the time that we need to really just, like the pastor said, rise to the occasion with every single thing that we do daily, or everything that we do, whether it's devotional or in prayer, or how we interact with people if we see them in passing. We need to actually be steadfast and ready and be ready. And I just pray for that. And I thank God, you know, for the opportunities that he has presented already. Because some people have gotten saved because of these things that we may not know about. But I know that God is still in the saving business. And I just actually put my trust in him. Amen.
Amen, sir. Amen. You're absolutely correct. And that's the thing we have to do as a body of Christ, as men of God and believers, that we know that God is in control. And God is working this thing out. The Bible says he's working these things out for our good. And we just, as the church, as believers, we have to gird ourselves up. We have to strap ourselves in. We have to remember the word of God. We have to go to the word of God. We have to stay connected with God through prayer, through our reading of his word, the studying of his word, and then and prepare ourselves. Because we can't, if we get off course or we get unanchored in our faith, we can't help nobody else. It's the old saying, you know, what do they do? What do they tell you on the airplane? Put on your oxygen mask first, then help somebody else. So that's what we have to do as a church. We have to remember that we have to be girded. Again, as long as this thing may go on, you know, there's a lot of other stuff, because there's other life. There's still life going on here. There's life to be lived. People are still going through things besides the virus. So we can't, we have to be in a place where we are prepared to share the gospel, prepared to show people love and compassion, and just continue to do and be the church. That's one of the things. I mean, we stopped going to church, and I believe this is an opportunity to start being the church around us, in our circle of influence. So those people start to take notice. Even for myself, you know, me and my wife, we sit out in front of the house in the evenings now because the sun doesn't go down, and we're starting to see neighbors that, you know, all winter we really didn't see, because that nobody can go nowhere but in the neighborhood. So we're seeing neighbors, we're seeing people walk in, we're starting to talk, starting to connect. So even in those little things that we all can do, you know, start to just to connect with folk. And when we go to the market, because now, you know, people are making runs to the grocery store depending on the situations. Be mindful. You know, because we're home, we're shut a lot. So some of us are off our jobs, some of us are not going to work. This is the time to iron. This is time to sharpen your sword, sharpen yourself in the word, sharpen your heart to be open to see. I know, because even back when there's a hustle and bustle of I'm going to work, get off work, I go to the grocery store, I do this on that on Saturdays, all that. Now, for some of us, it's time to stop and spend some time and let God use us in the midst of this. So I just want to encourage the brothers out there and all those who've listened, who've called in at 646-668-2636. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas, appreciate you for listening there. You can always go there and listen to a rebroadcast and archive of all our shows. We've been on over 5 years now. So we got 5 years, 3 times a week of programs. We talked about a lot of things that affect men's lives as husbands, fathers, and sons. And to be, and as men of God, and the things we struggle with, because we all struggle with something. There's something that we need God for, that thorn in the flesh, that we know if it wasn't for God, I would be back where I was, and I don't want to go back there. But I know that God is faithful, God is a keeper, and I know the Holy Spirit within me is greater than the flesh that tries to rise up in me. So I just want to encourage the brothers out there and just continue to press in. And again, during these times of crisis, during these times of whatever's going on, because just remember, what was it last year in 2019 or 2018 or the thing that brought you to Christ? That was good. God was God then, he's God now. And this time next year, he's still going to be God. But where are you going to be in your relationship with him? Are we going to draw closer? Are we going to let God use us more? Are we going to surrender to him? Are we, and even in the natural, in those relationships around us, family, friends, circumstances, husbands, wives, mothers, daughters, fathers, sons, all these things in the body, because the church, that's a whole other show, but trust me, in the church, people have problems with relationships they're trying to deal with, and they still are. They're saved, they're Christians, but they're dealing with personal one-on-one relationships that tend to test their faith every week or every day. But what are we going to do? Are we going to believe God? How is God going to use these things to make us different, that we're not in the same place we were this year, next year? Amen? So, again, I thank everyone who called in. I thank all the callers. I appreciate you. Just going to give a shout-out to my folk in New York, my folk in Baltimore, my folk in D.C., folk down south, all the folk that who normally call and listen to the program. I appreciate you. Deacon Anthony, bro, I appreciate you. We finally caught up and connected. I'm going to bring you back on as my special guest guy.
Love you,
dude. I'm gonna check the schedule, bro. I'm gonna keep you. I'm gonna call you every week. Make sure you come on. Amen. Pastor Watkins and Pastor Davis, brothers, we appreciate you too for calling in. Deacon Anthony, can you close out? You get the final word, and can you close us out in prayer, bro? And again, everyone is on the line. God bless you, and we love you. And just keep safe. And if you need anything, you need some toilet paper or something, give me a call, send me a text, let me know, and I'll get you some toilet paper and some milk and some eggs. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I thank God for all of this, man, all of this opportunity, just to encourage the body of Christ. As we bow our heads, we'll close out in prayer. Father God, in the precious name of your Lord and Savior, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your keeping power, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for your love, your mercy, and your grace, Lord God, towards us, Father, even if we don't deserve it, Father. I ask you right now, Father, to purify our hearts, Lord God. Father, your people, Father, use this time, Father, to strengthen our relationship with you, Lord God. Strengthen those marriages, Father, during that time, Father, this time. Father, it's your time. We know that you're in control, Father. Father, we depend on your word, Lord God. We thank you for your word that's in our hearts, Father, that we may not sin against you, Father. We thank you, Father, for the brothers and sisters, Father, who are in Christ. And, Father, that one soul, Father, that one person, Father, that may not know you, Father, we pray now, Lord God, that you draw them by your spirit, Lord God. Father, you said that you'll leave the 99, Father, and go after the one. So, Father, wherever that person may be, Father, right now in their lives, use us, Lord God, to your glory, Father. Give us what to say, Father, to those people, Father, who are going through. Give us the answers, Father. Let us be steadfast, Lord God, and unmovable. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Father, because we know that you are on your way back to redeem your church. So we ask you, Father, to help us be your instruments, Father, and draw people to you, Lord God, who may be lost. We thank you, Lord God, for the things, Father, that we take for granted, Father God. Forgive us, Lord God, and purify our hearts and minds, Lord God. We thank you this day, Lord God. Bless the people, Father, that do have the sickness, Lord God. Father, you know everything is for a purpose. Father, we ask your healing power, Father, but if it's in your will, Father, you said in your word that if we ask you anything, Father, according to your will, that you would do it. So, Father, have your way today, Father. We claim all things done. In Jesus' name, amen.
And we can on one accord.